This week's Parsha, Parsha Shalach. The spies go out. 10 come back with a negative report. Kalev and Yeshua come back with a positive report. The crowd follows the majority. At one point, the Torah tells us, Vayas Kalev. Kalev got the crowd to be quiet as he attempted to say the good things about the potential of living in Eretz Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was not good enough. The Gemara, in sight, the Lamed Hei Yamad Aleph, has a fascinating diak. It says that Kalev was able to get the crowd quiet and they were able to listen to Kalev. But Yeshua attempted it, and nobody listened. In fact, when Yeshua got up to speak and defend Moshe, even before Kalev got to speak, he went first, they shot him down with the phrase, Rosh Ketia, meaning he was headless. He had no head. Severed person. They said, we're not going to listen to you. You're a severed person. What does it mean, a severed person? Strange comment. The Aruch explains that it means that Yeshua had no children. The simple interpretation, when it says he has no children, it would mean that he had no boys or girls, because if he had girls, I don't think someone who has girls would be referred to as someone as a severed head, as childless. Severed head meaning you have no future. So though it assumes that he had no children at all. In the Gilyon, we cite many Gemaras that seem to say he was childless, but an open Gemara Megillah that says that he married Rachav and created many great people from her, and that happened through daughters. Gemara openly says Yeshua had daughters. We're going to take a step back for a second. Let's say he had no children. Why should that be a difference on listening to him? Is someone without children pusillatus? He's not allowed to testify what he saw. Yeshua went to the land. He was chosen as a spy. The assumption would be that he was a good person and trustworthy, and now he's coming back with a report. Why would the report be affected by the fact that he didn't have children? Now they woke up, he didn't have children. If you weren't going to trust him, then don't send them beforehand. The Mefarshim explained that when the people heard the negative response and they realized the land of Eretz Yisrael wasn't as great as they anticipated, when Yeshua got up to defend it, the fact that he had no children was why his defense would not be good. What would that mean? Simple interpretation, I think, could mean that an us to go to battle against these people could potentially cause a war with death and all types of negative stuff. They were telling Yeshua, don't sit back and send our kids into battle. You don't have children. So therefore, you saying to go to Israel and fight doesn't hold the same water, doesn't hold the same gravitas as the other people who are saying it. As well, some want to say that they were telling Yeshua, listen, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You have a personal desire to get there. Why? Because everyone knows, if someone's married without children, the years that are counted that he could, in living outside of Eretz Yisrael, don't really count as considered toward the 10 years of marriage without children. Moving to Eretz Yisrael is a merit that can create having children. So they were telling Yeshua, of course you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You want to have that merit for yourself to eventually have children. Similarly, some want to say, the Gemara says, that if someone separates tithes, trumas, and maestros, the merit is that he has children. So they were telling Yeshua, of course you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Same idea. You want to create that we're in the land of Eretz Yisrael and we're fulfilling a certain mitzvah in order to merit having children. So they were basically telling him that the reason why we're not going to listen to your testimony was not in general. In general, we would have trusted you. But once 10 spies came back and they said that the land was bad, you telling us, and dangerous and giants were there, you telling us to go there, is not exactly trustworthy. There are many other explanations to why him having children would affect his testimony, and even more explanations of what the words Rosh Ketiyah mean, why they used that specific phrase, how it was used, how it was relevant to here. We have said many times in the past, there are no random nicknames, random phrases in our history, our literature. It means something deeper. We probably could write 50 pages on these two words of Rosh Ketiyah that the Gemara throws in, Derech Agav, in a story. That, by the way, they told him, Rosh Ketiyah, you can't testify. Realize the Torah is endless. Start diving in. Have a great Shabbos.